A verse from the Old Testament lesson read to you a moment ago from the 6th chapter of Micah, the 8th verse, the last verse that we shared with you this morning. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? At long last, we have a list. A list that we so crave as human beings who are looking to land in heaven. A list from God Himself, because these are His words that are given to us here this morning. A list from God Himself about what it is that God requires of a human being. Now, of course, this section of Micah here is dealing with the people's relationship with God. And please keep that in mind as we move forward here. The people are wondering, are questioning, in the face of God's indictment against them, if you will, God's complaints against them, that they have done Him wrong. They are searching for that which will please God. That which will once again place them in good standing with Him. There's got to be something. And finally, they get the list. The list is in our text. You heard it. He has told you what is good. This is what's good now. This is what God desires. This is what God wants. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. There it is. There's the list. Do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with your God. Just last night, and those of you who come to the Bible class this morning are going to hear more about this, because as I told my wife, I'm going to be on my soapbox again for a few minutes. I looked up this portion of Micah in a couple of commentaries online, which you are able to do anytime you want, just to see what they had to say about them. And I was absolutely astounded by one commentator, and this is where you've got to be careful if you're using commentaries for anything. One commentator said these words: the prophet here tells only half the truth. And I thought to myself, what? Because a half-truth is a lie. And according to our Savior, Satan himself is the father of lies. So, put one and one together, and what do you come up with? The prophet is in league with the devil. Pure and simple. But then, of course, the question came to my mind, well, what is the full truth then? Please tell me, commentator. And sure enough, he did. He told me what the full truth was. And here it comes now. You ready? You do this, you do that, you got to do the other thing. That's what God requires. And here comes his list. And I thought to myself, if it was that simple, that we receive a list, we do these things, and we're in good standing with God, then we certainly would not have needed Jesus Christ. There's got to be something else going on here. And sure enough, taking each word as it comes, we get an entirely different picture of what it is that God requires. To do justice, first of all. We hear a lot of talk about justice in our day and age. There is no justice. When some criminal gets off from doing something on a technicality of law, we say there is no justice. We all seem to know what that word means, justice. I looked it up in the dictionary. And the word justice is defined as moral rightness. Moral rightness. God requires of His people moral rightness. Do what is right, God says. That's requirement number one. Now, what is right? Well, obviously the Ten Commandments are right. And there we go, running to our lists again. Do this, do that, do the other thing. Maybe the commentator was right after all. Now, do moral rightness, God says. So what is morally right when it comes to our relationship with God? Nothing other than this. Saying to God, I'm wrong. I deserve punishment. And I'm sorry for being wrong. That is moral rightness. You want to put it into a big theological term? Fine, we'll do that. Repentance. Do repentance. Do moral rightness. Do justice. Admit your sin and repent of it. That's requirement number one. Requirement number two, love kindness. My heart always falls when I read in these translations a poor translation of a word. Love kindness. Well, who doesn't love kindness? Now, what God says here is love grace. Love grace. Love the grace that He shows. Believe that God is gracious, that God wants to forgive, that God is more than willing to forgive. Requirement number two. Repent and turn to the grace of God and know that He doesn't not want to withhold that grace and forgiveness, but that He so dearly wants to give it. And cling to that as your hope. Love, grace. And then the prophet sums it up with the next phrase, and walk humbly with your God. We discussed this particular verse this past week in the Wednesday morning Bible class. Walk humbly with your God. Very simply, it's a summary of the first two. Because to be humble before God is not to be meek. That's a whole different word. To be humble before God is nothing other than this. God, I can do nothing to save myself. You've got to do it for me. There it is. That's humbleness before God. Giving up your own self-help that you think you can contribute. And relying totally and completely upon God for that life He is so willing to give. Oh, what we have in a nutshell here is the Christian life. Repent. Believe. And know that without God, without His love, without His kindness, without His grace, I am lost forever. But with it, I am right in His eyes, and I have the confidence of heaven itself. And so you see, it's really nothing new here, is it? This is what God requires of you, the prophet says. Telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Do justice. Admit your sinfulness. Admit your moral unrightness. That is moral rightness. Love grace. Cling to the grace of God, which forgives in spite of the fact that I so often don't think I need forgiving. And walk humbly with your God. Cling to Him for salvation, not to yourself. Realize that we can do nothing when it comes to that salvation, that He must do it all. You want a list? There's your list. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And according to God, in this text, this is what is good. Amen.